listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, how the field of dentistry is trying to reduce its role in the opioid crisis.
Now, there has been a reduction in the amount of opioids that dentists have been prescribing, so there has been change in practice patterns, but it hasn't been enough.
But first, more than a billion reasons for why you should trust your gut.
These are conditions that are predictable and they're preventable, or they're at least forecastable and reducible by really paying attention to those incredible host defenses located in your gut.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group, and I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney, and the truth is I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-854-4040. That's 800-854-4040. 800-854-4040. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Many of us have grown up hearing the phrase, trust your gut. But what does a maze of intestines have to do with anything? Well, aside from aiding in digestion, research has shown that our gastrointestinal systems have a lot more power over our lives than we thought. The source being an intricate community called the gut microbiome.
The microbiome refers to the trillions of organisms that live in and on our bodies, mostly in our gut. So we're talking about bacteria, viruses, fungal organisms, parasites, more than a billion bacteria in just one drop of fluid in your colon alone.
That's Dr. Robin Chutkan, a gastroenterologist with her own practice in Washington, D.C., called the Digestive Center for Wellness. As a microbiome expert, her book, The Antiviral Gut, Tackling Pathogens from the Inside Out, reveals just how critical this part of our body is to our overall health.
70 to 80% of our immune system is actually physically located in our gut. So we have these trillions of microbes on one side of the gut lining, and then all these other immune cells on the other side. And the gut microbes are in constant communication with the immune cells. They're basically like air traffic control for the immune system, telling the immune cells what to respond to, what to ignore, what to get really excited about. So there's such an intimate connection. It really is like a hand and glove connection between the gut microbiome and the immune system.
However, a lot of our normal habits can weaken our microbiome and compromise our immune system. The general term for an unhealthy microbiome is dysbiosis, which Chutkan says is linked to certain autoimmune diseases, allergies, and even cancers.
Now, you may have just minor symptoms of dysbiosis. You may have gas or bloating or a change in gut motility or a change in bowel habits. And this doesn't always mean that your gut microbiome is messed up. It could be that you have slow motility through the gut because you don't eat enough fiber or you're dehydrated, you don't drink enough water. So it's hard to draw a straight line from some of these symptoms to a disrupted microbiome, but we do know that because the microbes play such an integral role in all of these different health processes, when the microbiome is disrupted, we tend to see a lot of disturbances in our body and with our overall health.
Diagnosing gut dysbiosis is difficult because doctors can't see the microbiome, unlike other conditions such as stomach ulcers or gallstones.
We have lots of different tests like CAT scans and ultrasounds and blood tests to diagnose them. But the microbiome is an invisible kingdom, and it is a relatively new frontier in medicine, even though we've known about these microbes since the 1600s, when Antony von Leeuwenhoek first looked at his own dental plaque under the microscope and saw these little animalcules, as he called them, moving around. It's literally taken us a few hundred years to realize that these organisms are more friend than foe, and that they are very invested in our well-being. So I think the problem in medicine is we've spent so much time thinking about killing microbes and really focusing on Pasteur's germ theory,
which states that organisms can get into our bodies and make us sick, which is true. But Chutkin says it's just one side of the story. A second theory was developed by a different scientist around the same time.
Antoine Béchamp championed something that he called terrain theory, which says that if you have healthy soil, and by soil, we're really referring to the gut microbiome, if you have healthy soil, disease can pass somewhat harmlessly through your body. The seed can move through the soil without causing a lot of disruption. So both aspects are important. Germ theory, it's important to try and limit exposure to pathogens when we can. But terrain theory, it's important to have healthy soil. The health of the host, us, matters. And it may matter as much, if not more than, the potency of the pathogen in some cases.
So when we develop dysbiosis, we put ourselves at a greater risk of serious illness. Chutkin says the first step in fixing the condition is taking a look at our medicine cabinet. She advises that we be honest about which medications we absolutely need and stop using all of the ones that just make our lives a tiny bit easier. And if you do need certain medications, there are ways to reduce the harm these drugs may have on your gut, like asking your doctor about taking a lower dosage. If you're about to start a cycle of antibiotics, Chutkin offers some methods to keep your microbiome functioning as well as possible.
From a dietary point of view, things you can do, you can eat foods that are sort of anti-yeast foods like pumpkin seeds, coconut oil, rutabaga, seaweed. These all will help to combat yeast overgrowth after antibiotics. You can make a mushroom tea, maitake or shiitake mushrooms, using one or two dried mushroom caps with hot water and steeping that to make a sort of probiotic tea, if you will. You can also think about taking a probiotic while you're taking the antibiotic to combat the effects. And I give some detailed help in the book about how to choose a probiotic and which one might be helpful in the setting of antibiotics. So there is absolutely a lot you can do. But again, I want to stress that the most important thing is to not take the antibiotic in the first place if that is a possibility.
Chutkin says that being exposed to nature also has a really positive effect on our microbiome.
We know that kids, for example, who are exposed to animals, either on a farm like horses or cows, or domestic animals like a dog at home, those kids have fewer infections, they need fewer antibiotics, they tend to have fewer autoimmune diseases. So bringing a little bit of the outdoors in is a great way to help heal your microbiome.
Being in control of other factors like stress and sleep will also make a big difference. However, one of the most important influences on a microbiome is actually our diet.
We know that what we eat has a profound impact on our gut microbes, and we know the number one food that we should be eating to cultivate a healthy microbiome is plant fiber. The American Gut Project, which is a nonprofit that studies the microbiome, published a study in 2018, and they found that the number one predictor of a healthy microbiome was a variety of different plants that people were eating. So the magic number is 30 or more different plant foods per week was associated with a much more diverse, robust, healthy microbiome.
Now, don't worry. It may sound like an impossible feat, but eating 30 different types of plant protein is easier than you think. The term plant food doesn't just refer to lettuce and cabbage. It includes fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices. You can have around 6 different ingredients in a single bowl of oatmeal for breakfast, and that's just one of many meals in your week. Now, you may be thinking, why can't I just take a greens supplement and move on? Unfortunately, Chutkin says nothing processed will be able to compare to real food.
The fiber that you're getting in a supplement comes from a factory. It's processed. And that's the main difference between food too. So if you think about something like apples versus applesauce, when you look at an apple, you can see, okay, this apple came off a tree. Applesauce, there's no applesauce tree. This came out of a factory. So even though the ingredients in applesauce may only be apples, it's still a processed food. And so that's sort of the difference between a supplement versus a living food.
That's not to say Chutkin's against using supplements. In fact, she says that when used appropriately, they can be a really nice addition to a proper diet. However, make sure you read the ingredient list before purchasing these products. Chutkin says manufacturers often add fillers, colors, and flavorings that can irritate our gut. She says this often happens in some of the foods many of us eat every day.
We know that emulsifiers in food that will give things a nice consistency can be very damaging to our gut lining and our gut bacteria. We know artificial sweeteners in food also can be disruptive to the microbiome. So it's important to think of these ways that our food is sort of adulterated and processed. And even if it is a healthy ingredient, like apples, you know, is it coming from the ground or from a tree, or is it coming out of a factory?
And with many of our food products today being processed and many Americans taking more than one daily medication, it may seem like it's too late for a solution. But Chutkin says the great thing about our gut microbiome is that each day is a new opportunity to make it healthier.
Our microbiome is constantly changing and responding to changes in our diet, our environment, even our mood and our thoughts. So for example, there was a study published in the journal Nature where researchers took 9 volunteers and they put them on a sort of low-carb Atkins-type diet, pork rinds and prosciutto.
And then cycled them off for 5 days before introducing a new plant-based diet. Participants ate jasmine rice, lentils, and mangoes.
And they found that within about 30 hours of food hitting the gut, they saw dramatic shifts in the microbiome. And they also saw that those microbial shifts were leading to genetic shifts, that different genes being turned on and off as a result of the diet. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to be vegan, vegetarian, you know, lacto-ovarian, any of this stuff. It's not the label. It's just getting more plant foods into your diet. And that can make a difference in literally a day and a half.
But this change isn't going to come from one new superfood the internet has deemed as the holy grail. In fact, you may not have to add anything into your diet or lifestyle at all.
The biggest issue that I see with damage to the microbiome is because of things people are taking that are damaging it. So over-the-counter medications, prescription medications. So it's generally not something that you're going to take like a probiotic or a prebiotic or a supplement to fix your microbiome. It's generally about things you're going to stop doing, like stop taking the acid blocker or the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug or the hormonal therapy or the immunosuppressive drug. And that's what's going to improve the health of your microbiome.
Overall, Chutkin says that our health is truly in our own hands, and we have to choose to make the right decisions that will help keep us functioning at our best. Chutkin's book offers a comprehensive plan to get your gut health back on track, as well as helpful tips and recipes. The Antiviral Gut is available now wherever books are sold. You can find more information about Dr. Robin Chutkin on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. This segment originally aired in November 2022. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
If you're frustrated with occasional bloating and gas, your body is giving you signs. It's time to try Align. Align Probiotic was specifically designed by gastroenterologists to help relieve your occasional bloating and gas. When you feel the signs, it's time to try Align.
Coming up, are opioids really the best option to manage pain? When Radio Health Journal returns.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
If winter weather means you're spending more time indoors, why not make your space more inviting? Well, Macy's is here for you. Our President's Day sale is going on right now with big savings on what you need to refresh your entire home. 20 to 60% off. Up to 60% off new furniture, mattresses, and more. And when you come into Macy's this weekend, you can treat yourself to an extra 20% off clearance throughout the store. Whether you're in the mood to refresh your home or wardrobe, Macy's has the President's Day deals you need now. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Starting in the 1990s, prescription opioids were heavily pushed as the best way to treat pain. As we all know, this led to doctors overprescribing the drugs and millions of Americans developing a dependency that's continued to persist to this day. And though we often think opioid exposure stems from broken bones and major surgeries, many people overlook the field of dentistry. A 2018 study in JAMA International Medicine reveals that dentists are the leading prescribers of opioids for children. But it shouldn't come as a shock that these medical specialists have to manage a lot of pain.
So whether it's a toothache or whether it's pain that's caused by a surgical extraction of a tooth, pain often results. And so opioids are one form of analgesics. And so dentists oftentimes prescribe opioids. Now, there has been a reduction in the amount of opioids that dentists have been prescribing. So there has been change in practice patterns, but it hasn't been enough.
That's Dr. Cecile Feldman, Dean of the School of Dental Medicine at Rutgers University. The American Dental Association updated its policy for opioid prescribing in 2018. It supports continuing education for prescribing practices, limits on opioid dosages, and time restraints on drug use for acute pain. However, Feldman says there are still instances of unnecessary prescribing, like after tooth extractions.
Different kinds of extractions are likely to cause different levels of pain. So unless there is severe pain that is expected, and there's some reason why a patient can't take an NSAID or acetaminophen, then there's no reason for an opioid to be initially prescribed. And that's oftentimes what happens. And so we want to try to minimize that from occurring.
Much of Feldman's research aims to inform better standards of care, such as reducing the number of opioid prescriptions. In fact, she was the principal investigator for a new paper in the Journal of American Dental Association that has revealed stunning truths about pain management drugs, also known as analgesics. She hopes this work helps find solutions for a problem that affects so many.
Just about everyone is touched in one way or another. Either it's a family member or a friend who's impacted by, you know, the opioid epidemic. While there have been recommendations for a number of years about reducing the amount of opioids in dentistry, those recommendations are based upon evidence that's considered of weak quality. And so we set out to do a study that would provide a high quality evidence that would truly support the reduction in opioid prescribing.
With the goal of providing the dentistry field more solid evidence, Feldman and her team created a process that differs from many other studies of this nature. They gave the surgeons freedom to perform the surgeries how they normally would instead of making them all conform to one technique, which mimicked real life as closely as possible. And where past research only followed up with patients a few hours after the procedure, Feldman's team followed the participants over the entire post-operative period for multiple doses of pain medication. To start the process, all participants came in with at least one mandibular molar.
So that's a third molar that's in the lower jaw, in the mandible, that is at least partially, if not fully, impacted, meaning it's surrounded by bone, because those surgeries tend to produce moderate to severe pain. And if you're going to do a pain study, you need a pain model where patients, unfortunately, normally would experience pain.
Following the procedure, half of the patients were given a combination of hydrocodone and acetaminophen, while the other group received the non-opioid option of acetaminophen and ibuprofen. The participants did not know which combination they'd received, which gave the researchers an opportunity to measure various factors free of any bias.
The ability to sleep, the ability to continue on with your daily activities like driving, all right? We looked at overall satisfaction. We looked at side effects. We looked at the need for rescue. So if the analgesic that we were providing them wasn't sufficient, we provided a rescue medication. So we wanted to take a look at the need for rescue. And across all of those domains, the non-opioid combination came out as being better than the opioid combination. So very, very strong, robust results.
Even when pain was at its worst in the first 2 days after surgery, Feldman's study shows that non-opioid combination outperformed the hydrocodone.
With regard to pain interference, so being able to perform those daily functions, you know, go to work or to drive, for the first 2 days, again, when pain is normally at its worst, pain interference was much less if you were on the non-opioid. All right, so again, favoring the non-opioid. Sleep quality, much better the first night if you're using the non-opioid. The need for rescue. The opioid group had over 6% needing rescue. The non-opioid group had less than 3%. So it was like 2.88%. So over twice as many people in the opioid group requited rescue. And that probably is going to be a surprise to most people. I know it was a surprise to us because most of us carry this bias about opioids being superior to non-opioids.
Though they set out to show that non-opioids could be just as effective, these results completely blow past what the researchers expected. But if opioids aren't the king of pain like we've always thought, why do so many of us still believe there's nothing better? Feldman says that's because pain is relative. Some types of pain still do require the use of opioids, but this research proves that we can limit exposure to these drugs and offer patients a better option in certain situations.
We're looking at pain that's associated with inflammation. So usually when you extract the tooth, you know, there's swelling that occurs. And so the NSAID, along with the acetaminophen, really is pretty powerful in terms of managing that pain. With other kinds of pain, it could be completely different. And so, for example, if you're having open heart surgery, you know, it's likely you're going to need something a little bit more powerful. And the opioids do act in a way that make it so that you really don't care what's going on around you. You really don't care the fact that, you know, that you have pain. So they do act in a different, you know, in a different way. So it's not one size fits all with regard to pain management and analgesics.
But for this case and other similar oral surgeries, Feldman's shown that we can reduce opioid prescriptions in favor of less addictive options. And while these results are impressive, Feldman wants to push our understanding of pain management even further by bringing in the component of preconceived biases. Are they so ingrained in us that the outcomes would be different if patients knew which medications they were receiving?
So do we repeat this study or do a similar study that's now unblinded to try to see whether or not we're also able to say, even when you know what you're taking, right? The non-opioid still comes out being better. I don't know if that's the case because we know that there's a very strong placebo effect when it comes to analgesics. So that's kind of a next study that we would really like to do, is to do an unblinded study and see how much that bias really does influence, you know, what happens to patients in terms of outcomes.
Since there's still a place for opioids within medicine, it's hard to say how these results would translate to other specialties like orthopedics. Feldman thinks it could be helpful in other cases where inflammation is a main cause of the pain, but we won't have a definitive answer until those specialties conduct similar research. You can find more information about Dr. Cecile Feldman and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-854-4040. That's 800-854-4040. 800-854-4040. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
If winter weather means you're spending more time indoors, why not make your space more inviting? Well, Macy's is here for you. Our President's Day sale is going on right now with big savings on what you need to refresh your entire home. 20 to 60% off. Up to 60% off new furniture, mattresses, and more. And when you come into Macy's this weekend, you can treat yourself to an extra 20% off clearance throughout the store. Whether you're in the mood to refresh your home or wardrobe, Macy's has the President's Day deals you need now. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
medical notes this week. How can you tell if your sniffles are just allergies or something worse? For illnesses like the cold and flu, many of the symptoms overlap, and it can be hard to tell which one you're stuck with. Both can cause fevers, chills, and coughs, but cold symptoms tend to be much more mild. The common cold also shows up with congestion and a runny nose, which would be abnormal for the flu. Knowing these differences can help you build a more effective plan for getting healthier faster. Should men be living in colder climates? New research in Nature Medicine reveals that the impact of an environment on a father prior to conceiving is passed down to the child. Men who spent time in cold weather produced kids with more brown fat, which is considered good fat. This tissue is associated with lower risks of becoming overweight. The scientists believe these effects only occur with prolonged exposure, meaning a quick plunge in an ice bath won't create the same effects. The medical field is helping to increase access to clean water. Dialysis is a process used by patients with kidney failure to filter waste from their blood. Researchers are now using this same method to treat wastewater and have published a study in the journal Nature Water. It's proving to be extremely effective, and experts think it could reduce the environmental impact of different industries, such as textile manufacturing. And finally, your smartwatch may not be as great for your health as you thought. After testing 22 watch bands from various brands, researchers noticed that 9 of them had elevated levels of forever chemicals. These toxins have been linked to serious health conditions like cancer. The research is published in the journal Ecotoxicology and Public Health. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayon Vosta-Betancourt.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-854-4040. That's 800-854-4040. 800-854-4040. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some flurries and light snow giving way to mostly cloudy skies. We'll be near 10 above in the afternoon, but gusty north winds will really drive that wind chill down. In fact, for tonight, mostly cloudy. The air temperature near 15 below, wind chills to 30 below. It's 9 at our studios.
This week on Viewpoints.
They're happy to sell TikTok, but not the algorithm. And it's the algorithm that really makes that app worthwhile.
The real reason behind the TikTok ban that took the app offline for 12 hours. Then,
Bessie was getting press, but it was only from the black press. White press was not interested in Bessie at first.
The courageous stunt pilot you've likely never heard of. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
For a limited time, you can get KFC chicken with the sweet heat of hot honey. And after one bite, you'll wonder, how do bees make hot honey so hot? Are they special bees? Does KFC have dragon bees? Fire-breathing dragon bees that create spicy honey? No, silly. There's no such thing. KFC just partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to drizzle all over their crispy chicken. But dragon bees would be so cool. Try it now for only $7 or share a box with friends for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
If winter weather means you're spending more time indoors, why not make your space more inviting? Well, Macy's is here for you. Our President's Day sale is going on right now with big savings on what you need to refresh your entire home. 20 to 60% off. Up to 60% off new furniture, mattresses, and more. And when you come into Macy's this weekend, you can treat yourself to an extra 20% off clearance throughout the store. Whether you're in the mood to refresh your home or wardrobe, Macy's has the President's Day deals you need now. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
On January 18th, TikTok users across the country opened the app to a shocking message. The platform was unavailable. A nationwide ban was set to take effect the next day, but many people doubted that it would actually happen. Then President Joe Biden had publicly said he wouldn't enforce the law on his last day in office, so when the app went dark anyway, millions mourned the early shutdown. For about 14 hours, TikTok remained offline until service was suddenly restored the next morning. A message on the homepage credited President Trump for its return. Through an executive order, Trump granted the company a 75-day extension to comply with the federal law and sell TikTok to a non-Chinese owner. For those following the case, this ban has been a long time coming. John Wibby, an associate professor of media innovation and technology at Northeastern University in Boston, breaks down the scrutiny.
There was overwhelming bipartisan support for forcing TikTok, which is owned by the parent company ByteDance, headquartered in China, to divest its ownership control to an American group of investors or to a single investor. But ByteDance, the company, and perhaps the Chinese Communist Party saw fit that they didn't want to do that. So there's currently a standoff. The Trump administration, which has wide discretion on how to enforce laws, has paused on that particular ban. But it's still a duly passed law in the United States and will have to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form by the Justice Department and the administration.
Wibby says politicians on both sides of the aisle share concerns about China's influence and access to the American public and their data through the app. After all, about a third of all U.S. adults are on TikTok, according to a 2024 survey conducted by Pew Research Center. This number jumps higher in younger users. Close to 60% of young people under the age of 30 are on TikTok. With so many Americans on the app, the government fears it could be used as a tool for the Chinese Communist Party.
This actually started with President Trump in the first term, where there became a lot of concern about China's rise, particularly its tech sector, and this kind of comparatively unfair advantage that China has insofar as it can put apps in our market, social media apps and other kinds of apps, whereas the likes of Google and Facebook are banned in China. There are also concerns because of the growth of TikTok. It has about 170 million users, that's the estimate, in the United States, that it has a great deal of potential surveillance capacity. It vacuums up a lot of data. It also serves up content through algorithms, and there are, you know, have been many questions raised about whether those algorithms in effect promote anti-American values. And I think if there's one thing right now that can unite Democrats and Republicans in Washington, it's concern and anxiety over China and China's rise.
Regardless if these fears are valid or not, the U.S. ban would be catastrophic for TikTok's Chinese owner, ByteDance. It would lose billions of dollars and a third of its overall user base. So why doesn't ByteDance just sell the app to a U.S. company and put an end to this threat? Wibby says it's not the app that's the focus. It's the algorithm.
The TikTok algorithm is a real marvel. I mean, it has been at the cutting edge of social media. It has driven the short form video trend that has forced a whole marketplace in the United States of social media companies and apps to pivot towards the short form. So it's been an incredible algorithm. And really the secret sauce is that it just has a phenomenal ability to surface content that you or me might be theoretically interested in. And that's really hard to do. It takes a lot of data science. It takes a lot of AI, what we would call neural networks, looking at thousands of signals, matching you to other like similar people, similar demographics, and then finding sometimes very quirky or idiosyncratic content that just for some reason will resonate with our brains. You almost might think of it as a kind of mind hack.
In addition to its ability to curate the right content, the TikTok algorithm has a knack for bringing like-minded people together. For example, users who engage with left-leaning political content are much more likely to see only videos from liberal creators rather than conservatives, and vice versa. Ashley Landrum argues that this practice can lead to a phenomenon called an echo chamber. Landrum is an associate professor at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Arizona State University.
TikTok is known for its For You page, which delivers the highly personalized content based on users' behavior. So what you see is largely influenced by what you're engaging with, your likes, your shares, your comments, or even how long you watch a video for. As a result, there is potential to be exposed to diverse perspectives. The algorithm can also create echo chambers if someone consistently interacts with content from one political perspective. The app is likely to show them more of the same. And this can lead to a lack of balance of perspectives that users are exposed to. The other thing that this leads to is one of the issues with echo chambers more broadly is the assumption that more people hold a certain perspective than actually do.
Unlike traditional media sources, there's no expectation to show both sides of an argument or topic. The issue to this one-sided view is that more people are turning to social media to get their news. A Pew Research study conducted last year uncovered that 4 in 10 young adults regularly get their news from content creators on TikTok.
There is a general feeling among political experts and pundits that one of the reasons for the large shift in public sentiment closer to Trump, further away from the Democratic Party, has been because of the types of media sources used. They really weren't relying on the standard town halls or debates and media coverage in the way that previous elections had. Instead, you had Donald Trump doing podcasts, talking to influencers. You had individuals creating content on TikTok and really spreading the message in this way that demonstrates that social media really has become the, quote, mainstream media, because that's where most people are getting their content from.
As social media shapes people's perspectives and beliefs, TikTok's impact in particular can't be ignored. If the 14-hour ban proved anything, it's that a permanent shutdown would leave a void for many millions of Americans. While it's impossible to predict what will happen to the app, Landrum has some theories on the ripple effects of various outcomes. If it's banned, it's likely that users will flock to other short-form video platforms like Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts. But if it survives, it may look very different, perhaps even unrecognizable.
If TikTok is purchased by a U.S. holder, the question is, does the algorithm go with it? And I think if the algorithm does not go with it, you're likely to see a drop of engagement with TikTok, or we could see a drop of engagement with TikTok, even if the platform continues to exist. It's also possible that people will just stay on because they have these same users, but perhaps it'll be less engaging. Another thing to think about is who those owners are. Whoever comes in to purchase, if TikTok is purchased and given, you know, by US-based organizations, they will have a large amount of say or sway over the way that content is shared. And as we've seen with many of the other platforms, the social media platforms, that some of these debates over how misinformation is dealt with, to what extent fact-checking is prioritized on the site, could also sway how users are engaging with the platforms. So while I'm not sure what's going to happen next for TikTok, those would be the things that I would be keeping an eye on.
As of today, ByteDance still has about 6 weeks to act before the 75-day extension expires, and TikTok is blocked. To find out more about John Wibby, Ashley Landrum, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galante and Amira Zaveri. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Our Are you feeling sluggish or weighed down? Could be a sign your digestive system isn't at its best. Take the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge to feel lighter and more energetic by supporting digestive health. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Coming up, this Black History Month, we're highlighting Bessie Coleman, a pioneer in American aviation, when Viewpoints returns.
For a limited time, you can get KFC chicken with the sweet heat of hot honey. And after one bite, you'll wonder, how do bees make hot honey so hot? Are they special bees? Does KFC have dragon bees? Fire-breathing dragon bees that create spicy honey? No, silly. There's no such thing. KFC just partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to drizzle all over their crispy chicken. But dragon bees would be so cool. Try it now for only $7 or share a box with friends for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
If winter weather means you're spending more time indoors, why not make your space more inviting? Well, Macy's is here for you. Our President's Day sale is going on right now with big savings on what you need to refresh your entire home. 20 to 60% off. Up to 60% off new furniture, mattresses, and more. And when you come into Macy's this weekend, you can treat yourself to an extra 20% off clearance throughout the store. Whether you're in the mood to refresh your home or wardrobe, Macy's has the President's Day deals you need now. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
For a limited time, you can get KFC chicken with the sweet heat of hot honey. And after one bite, you'll wonder, how do bees make hot honey so hot? Are they special bees? Does KFC have dragon bees? Fire-breathing dragon bees that create spicy honey? No, silly. There's no such thing. KFC just partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to drizzle all over their crispy chicken. But dragon bees would be so cool. Try it now for only $7 or share a box with friends for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
When's the last time you hopped on an airplane? It could be 2 weeks, or for some, 2 years ago. Each day, about 45,000 flights take off across the U.S., transporting close to 3 million people. While flying is very much the norm today, go back 100 years and only a select few could say they had flown aboard a passenger plane. There was limited space, tickets were extremely expensive, and the experience was loud, shaky, and uncomfortable. It's safe to say that aviation has come a long way since its birth in 1903. Many of us know of the Orville brothers, who were the first to build and fly a motor-powered airplane. For this pair, flying felt a lot like riding a wild wooden roller coaster with little padding and protection. While history celebrates big names like the Wright brothers and Amelia Earhart, it's also glossed over several others. One lesser-known story is that of Bessie Coleman, who in 1922 became the first African-American woman to ever take flight.
Many people in America had never even seen a plane. So that's the era that these people were flying around and then doing stunts. I mean, she actually went to Europe twice. She got her license, and then she came back, and then she realized she had to be more than a barnstormer. She had to really learn how to do stunts. And so she went back to Europe and got some of the best stunt pilots in the world at that time to teach her how to do stunts, and it worked.
That's Tanya Hart, who's part of Flying Free Films, which is a co-producer of the limited series podcast Invisible Eagles, Bessie Coleman. She's also the host and producer of Hollywood Live with Tanya Hart. When we examine Coleman's story, Hart says she wasn't just an exceptional pilot, but a force to be reckoned with. After all, Coleman was the ninth of 13 siblings and came from a small, segregated southern town in Texas.
She was a feisty Black girl with big dreams, and that in itself puts you in danger. She eventually has to leave Texas, and she goes to Chicago, where life is very, very different in Chicago for her. Because again, keep in mind, a part of the big migration from the South to the North was through Chicago for African Americans at that time. And so by the time she got to Chicago, people, you know, they were living kind of large. They, you know, the Roaring Twenties was happening, the Harlem Renaissance in New York. Well, in Chicago, there was just a really great music scene. She went there and she was like, oh, I have found my world. People like her, like the people she wanted to be.
In Chicago, Coleman discovered more opportunities, but still wasn't able to pursue her love of aviation. So she dreamed big and moved to France, where she was able to obtain her pilot's license. Even though she found success in Europe as a performing stunt pilot, her heart was still back home in America.
She became very, very popular in Europe. So when she comes back, she has to deal with what America really is, which is one of the reasons she went back to France, because she was like, oh, I got to go back to Europe. First of all, I need to learn how to do stunts. But the pressure of being in America at that time was a little bit much for her.
In the U.S., it was the height of white supremacy and Jim Crow, a time when hate, discrimination, and violence spread wide and far.
So lynchings began, riots began. Ironically, the same week that Bessie Coleman got her license in France was like 15 days after the massacre in Oklahoma.
Hart is referring to the 1921 Tulsa massacre that took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In the summer of 1921, Greenwood, which was an affluent, predominantly black neighborhood, was looted and burned by white rioters. In a 24-hour span, 35 city blocks were torched, and historians today estimate that as many as 300 people died. And this wasn't an isolated incident. Across the U.S., millions of African Americans feared for their lives and faced countless barriers. Even today, this discrimination and bias plays an effect on how people in history are remembered. Hart highlights the differences in coverage and funding between Amelia Earhart and Bessie Coleman.
Bessie Coleman got her license, I believe it was 2 years before Amelia Earhart. And then, of course, Amelia became the aviatrix darling of the world. She had more funding. That always makes a big difference, because keep in mind, Bessie had to, after all of this fame and somewhat of a fortune, Bessie still had to scrap to get her own plane. You know, I mean, we're talking, she had to scrape together money and scrap together over this, just to get a plane that was really old and dilapidated and just out of sorts, but it was her plane. Amelia Earhart didn't have to do all of that. She got her license and she got sponsorship. She got planes. She got press from all over the world.
But for Coleman, this coverage by the U.S. press was biased.
Bessie was getting press, but it was only from the black press. White press was not interested in Bessie at first. Eventually, when she went to Europe, that's where she got all of the press from. The white press was in Europe. Very little from here. So when you put all of that together, that's why people know who Amelia Earhart is, and they don't know who Bessie Coleman is. Just that simple. It's a matter of, you know, promotion and press and being in the history books versus not being in the history books. This is American history. You've got a woman who was the first female to get an international pilot's license, period. And you're not going to talk about that?
Despite the unfair treatment and discrimination, Coleman pushed past the hurdles to become one of the most talented stunt pilots of her generation. In her career, she specialized in stunt flying and parachuting, earning money and prestige performing aerial tricks.
She was in pursuit of her passion, and she would not settle for anything less. She really would not. You know, even when she had to have planes that weren't as good as everybody else competing, she figured out how to make that plane fly as best as she could so she could win at what she was doing that day.
To learn more about Bessie Coleman and our guest, Tanya Hart, head to viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out the scripted podcast series about Bessie Coleman's life and career titled Invisible Eagles, Bessie Coleman, out now wherever you listen to podcasts. It's a limited series with 8 easy-to-listen-to episodes that'll keep you hooked. For more behind the scenes and to keep up to date on upcoming stories, follow Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, Facebook, and X. This segment originally aired in December 2023 and was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
For a limited time, you can get KFC chicken with the sweet heat of hot honey. And after one bite, you'll wonder, how do bees make hot honey so hot? Are they special bees? Does KFC have dragon bees? Fire-breathing dragon bees that create spicy honey? No, silly. There's no such thing. KFC just partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to drizzle all over their crispy chicken. But dragon bees would be so cool. Try it now for only $7 or share a box with friends for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. The price of coffee has been steadily rising due to climate change. In recent years, repeated droughts and flooding have strained the global coffee supply. Brazil is the largest exporter of Arabica, the most popular coffee bean in the world. Almost 60% of the world's coffee stems from this variety, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. In second place is the Robusta bean, which is primarily grown in Vietnam. For years, farmers in both countries have been struggling to maintain their crops in the midst of more extreme weather, and this is having a direct impact on the price of coffee around the world. In the U.S., major names like Starbucks, Folgers, Maxwell House, and Nescafe have already raised prices, while small roasters and coffee shop owners are forced to assess how and when to raise prices without pushing people away. Last year, Starbucks saw a sharp decline in sales and is hoping to win back consumers this year by cutting prices from other parts of the menu and revamping its store to feel cozier and more inviting. While the price for coffee isn't expected to go down anytime soon, the good news is that it isn't predicted to rise either. Other countries like Honduras, Mexico, and Peru are stepping up to produce larger quantities of alternative varieties. So the next time you buy a cup of Joe, ask where the beans come from. You might be surprised. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. For the past decade or two, the pinnacle of TV has been this concept of prestige television. These are typically thought of as shows with higher production values, lower episode counts, and more dense storytelling. And I love prestige TV, with some of my favorite shows being The Leftovers, Succession, Better Call Saul, and The Haunting of Hill House. But somewhere along the way of chasing prestige TV, many networks and streamers lost sight of making regular TV. Sometimes, after a long day of taking tests at school or working your job, you don't want to be greeted with something aiming for prestige. Sometimes you just want TV to take your mind off of things. And that doesn't mean these other shows are somehow inferior, they're just truer to the original model of the form. More episodes, more B-plots, and likely more lights turned on. Thankfully, two new shows have managed to capture the magic of non-prestige TV in a couple of the most tried and true formats, the hospital drama and the political thriller. First, Max's new show, The Pitt, stars Noah Wiley as an emergency room doctor. Every episode of The Pitt follows 1 hour of time, and the whole season will equate to one 15-hour shift in the ER. With a fun cast, traditional hospital show hijinks, and an absolutely commanding lead performance from Wiley, The Pitt reminded me of just how rewarding a hospital show can be. If political thrillers are more your speed, Hulu's new show Paradise reteams This Is Us creator and head writer Dan Fogelman with star Sterling K. Brown to tell the admittedly bonkers story of a Secret Service agent working to uncover the truth behind the assassination of the president, played by James Marsden. I don't want to give away the big episode one turn, but as any This Is Us fan can tell you, Fogelman is a master of television sleight of hand, revealing absurd twist after absurd twist to create something compelling and imminently watchable. Both The Pitt and Paradise are traditional TV offerings delivered via the traditional week-by-week TV release schedule, and I will be tuning in to both every week. I'm Evan Rook.
For a limited time, you can get KFC chicken with the sweet heat of hot honey. And after one bite, you'll wonder, how do bees make hot honey so hot? Are they special bees? Does KFC have dragon bees? Fire-breathing dragon bees that create spicy honey? No, silly. There's no such thing. KFC just partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to drizzle all over their crispy chicken. But dragon bees would be so cool. Try it now for only $7 or share a box with friends for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
If winter weather means you're spending more time indoors, why not make your space more inviting? Well, Macy's is here for you. Our President's Day sale is going on right now with big savings on what you need to refresh your entire home. 20 to 60% off. Up to 60% off new furniture, mattresses, and more. And when you come into Macy's this weekend, you can treat yourself to an extra 20% off clearance throughout the store. Whether you're in the mood to refresh your home or wardrobe, Macy's has the President's Day deals you need now. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.